The Blaze Radio Network. On demand. Freedom's Disciple. On demand.
On the Blaze Radio Network.
I want to talk to you about what's happening in America this week from an economic point of view. Because if you've been watching the news very closely, you've heard some very unstable economic news. And there's a lot of stability in the markets. The Dow's had many bad days. And the record downs in actual terms of points. And there's a lot of skepticism. There's some people out there going, this is the big crash. That, you know, the bubble is over. Bubble has popped. I want to talk to you about why everything is happening and that is happening right now, because in some ways, that while the timing you're never sure of, it's impossible to predict when it's happening, what's happening is kind of somewhat predictable. And let me explain to you why. If you remember a couple of months ago, and I've done this many times publicly on my social media accounts and on this show, I think it's foolish for any president, and including President Trump, to base one of the successes of the economy on the stock market. The reason for this is twofold. One, what happens in the stock market generally isn't a reflection of what's happening in the economy for many reasons. Just think of it logistics-wise. One, if you're, take a local mom-and-pop store, local garage, local hair salon, local small business, local manufacturing company. Is what Apple is doing or what Disney is doing, does that affect you? If Disney has record profits or Walmart has record profits, does that affect you in your business? Now, obviously it might if you're in direct competition with them because you've lost maybe some customers, but in the general scheme of things, does it affect you? Not really. Now, it affects you if you have investment in it or if you have a 401k. Absolutely, it affects you. But basing an economy on 20-plus companies, I think it's actually 30 companies, an economy that has 500,000 businesses is not really sound logic. But also, it's not sound logic when you understand what makes the stock market tick. In many ways, what makes the stock market tick is sentiment. What they think is going to happen. This is why you have companies with their projected earnings and their actual earnings and the stock market responding to it. So you can have a company coming out tomorrow going, well, we're going to project for the next quarter, we're going to have record earnings of $1 billion. And our best prior to that was $500 million. I'm just giving you simple figures. And then the actual results, and they go, wow, they're gonna not just have their best ever quarter, they're going to have their best ever quarter by a mile. We think that price is going to go up. We're going to jump on board. And then the actual figures come out, and they go, look, our best ever was 500, you know, $500 million. We projected $1 billion, but we'd missed $1 billion target. We only hit 750. Market will go down because of that, because they didn't hit what they projected. That's all they'll focus in on. They won't focus in on, wow, you just had your best ever quarter. Doesn't matter. It wasn't projected. It didn't hit projections. When you are trading on Wall Street, a large chunk of what you're doing is speculation. It's not where the company was. It's not even where the company is. It's where they think they're going to go. And they speculate going forward. Is it good or is it bad? That is what a large amount of companies do. And those who bet on the stock market do the same on the actual indices. Is it going to be good or is it going to be bad? Now, what you've had in DC right now and you've had in the stock market, you've had several things happen for on the short term, but also the long term. The long term is, and when I say long term, I mean the last 15, 18 months, and even longer term, 8 years. Is you've had a constant growth in the market. Any trader who trades will tell you this. The time to worry is when everyone says it's amazing, it's wonderful, it's great. It's just going up. As someone who's sold investments in the past, I used to sell a long, long time ago. I used to sell overseas property to Irish people. They had, when this is back in mid to late early 2000s. And I would always have to go to tell people, and I was an honest person as I am, and I tell people, and I would actually have Irish people laugh at me. They would go on to buy property in Spain or in Portugal or in Cyprus as a holiday home, and then they'd rent it the rest of the year. And I'd have to tell them that, you know what, there is a good chance that your property may go down in value at some point, especially if you're a long-term investor. And I had many people go, you're so cute, property going down. No, property can go down. This is not nothing in this world, whether it's property, whether it's investments, whether it's currency, whether it's cryptocurrencies, is always going to go up and have this smooth side up that you're going to invest in it. If it was like that, everyone would do it. Sometimes things go down. If you look at what's happened in the Dow, and I'm going to focus on the economy at large in a minute, but I want to just focus in on the Dow. What's happened is the Dow has had a lot of growth since Donald Trump has come into office. A lot of growth. That bubble has stretched and grown and grown and grown. Eventually, what happens, markets correct themselves. They kind of go, okay, we've overshot and overgrown. Now we need to have a little period where we catch up. There's a lot of technical analysis about this. It's where moving averages have to catch up with the trades. And that's a lot of complex theory I don't want to get into on this show. Not on this part of the show anyway. So you've seen a massive, in relative terms, correction. It's not a bubble, it's not a burst, but it is a correction. Now, what's caused that correction? Markets do not like uncertainty. In many ways, people always thought when Donald Trump got in, there was going to be market correction, there was going to be market aspects that, you know, the market would respond accordingly. Markets had priced Donald Trump in already. When Donald Trump and the GOP finally passed the tax bill, they had priced that in to the market. They priced these things in. They're very astute. They're following the news of the day because they're not looking at a company where it was or the stock market where it was or even where it is. They're looking at where it's going and what they think is going to happen. They're speculating all the time. And how people feel. If people feel good about the stock market, they invest. If people feel bad about the stock market, they either get out or they make a spread bet on it to go down. That's all it is. It's all speculation, what you feel. So why has the stock market had all these problems this week? Well, there are a couple of reasons. One is there's a bit of uncertainty about the government shutdown. Because I don't know when you're listening to this on Saturday, but there's been a lot of talk this week of government shutdown. Rand Paul did a lot of work in the Senate to oppose the spending bill. I don't know how it's going to turn out in the House. I think it will comfortably pass. But there are people who are in economists who actually understand that America has problems coming at $20 trillion in debt. America has problems. But also what you have is you have this culture changing. What you have is the Fed are now raising interest rates. So while it's not a shock to the system because they're speculators, it is a change of attitude. It is a change in culture. Because you've had for 8 years pretty much very little interest rate hikes. It's been very steady. It's been very consistent. There hasn't even been, you know, under Obama for the longest time, there wasn't even rumors of an interest rate hike. It was very consistent, very steady. There was nothing going on. Now all of a sudden, they're raising it. There are talks of raising it 4 times this year. 4 times. Potentially, that means 4 changes to the culture. And when I say the culture, I mean the culture of investment. Because each of those interest rates are changing the rate of interest, but also potentially might make it harder for business to invest. It might make it harder for people to stop spending their money. Because I can't get the most important word about the stock market and the economy that I'm talking about right now is how you feel, how you speculate. No one knows. We can project it. We can predict it. Of if you hit interest rates at this level, you never go past this level because that's when people will stop buying houses. But at the end of the day, we can project it. We can base it on prior knowledge. We can base it on research. We never know. At some point, if it becomes prohibitive for you to buy a house, if interest rates hit a certain level, you just stop buying houses, which will have a major knock-on effect elsewhere. will have major effect in the construction industry. It will have major effect on the need for property. It will have major effect on rental price. It will affect your lives if people stop buying houses. And it will have a dramatic impact on certain areas of the economy. How do you speculate that? How do you know how that works out? So what you're seeing right now is a lot of uncertainty. But you're also understanding and seeing a very changing culture of you now have an additional investment of cryptocurrencies. And what I'd ask you to do is just, I'm going to try and make this as simple as possible to explain what's happening right now, is I'd ask you to think of the American economy has a certain amount of dollars. It's worth a certain amount of dollars, right? I'd ask you to equate the American economy to your household budget, okay? The American economy will always have to spend, as individuals, on certain topics, on certain aspects of your life, like you will. So a large chunk of American business and money that's made will have to be paid wages, will have to pay taxes, will have to pay insurance, light, heat, kind of like you do in your household budget. You know, you might have to make your mortgage payment. There are always certain things you have to do or you can't exist. You have to put food on the table. You have to buy your light. You have to buy your heat. You have to buy your insurance. So basically, imagine all that needs in both your household budget and the American economy. A large chunk of the American dollars that are floating around there for everyone, for rich, poor, and everyone in between, is a good chunk of that has now gone. Then you have to pay your taxes. Another chunk of it's gone. The government comes in, you know, your federal government, your IRS, your local government, your property taxes. If you have water taxes, if you've been taxed, whatever tax you have, another chunk of the money is gone. So another chunk of the money of your household budget is gone, but also the American dollar chunk of it is gone. And what is left, in many ways, is called disposable income. It's what you have. You may have a little bit of disposable income. You may have a lot. You may have some. And what happens is, everybody is fighting for that disposable income that you own. Everyone is coming to you, whether you know it or not, saying, spend your dollar with me. Give me your dollar. I want your dollar. What it is up to you is what you do with that dollar. I'm getting to a bigger point, just to explain what's happening. So you may, as an individual, go, I have, and let's just keep it simple, I have $100 disposable every week. If you do, you're fantastic. As someone who understands what's happening in America right now, let me tell you, if you have any disposable income left over, you're in a good position compared to a lot of fellow Americans. But you may decide with that $100, you're gonna invest it in the 401k. Okay, cool. You may decide that $100, you're going to invest it in your kid's college scheme. Or you're going to save up for a mortgage. Or you're going to save up and buy a car. Or you may go buy a car and that disposable income is now spoken for because you're going to use that as a repayment. $100 a week. Or you may decide, okay, cool, look, we have everything sorted. We have everything paid. That $100, I'm going to spend on fun. I'm going to buy, the baseball season has come up, I'm going to buy MLB TV. I'm going to buy a new 40-inch, 60-inch, 70-inch TV for my man cave. Or I'm going to bring my wife out for dinner every Friday night. We're going to go to the cinema. Ever how you spend it, everyone is fighting for your income. You might save up and buy an iPad. Everyone is fighting for that income. Everyone is fighting for you to say, spend your dollar with me. I need your dollar. I want your dollar. What's happening and what's happened over the last couple of weeks and the uncertainty of the market is the US economy is the exact same way. Everyone is fighting for your dollar. And what you have right now is, because the stock market's gone up, a lot of people are investing in the stock market because they kind of go, the stock market's going up, I'm getting involved. I'm going to invest in the stock market. I'm going to buy some shares. I'm going to increase my 401k. I have some extra tax back. You also have cryptocurrencies in the market where you have all these, you've heard of Bitcoin. You might have heard of the other major currencies like Ripple and Ethereum and Litecoin. You also, there's a lot of other ones. There's like Monero, there's OMG coin, there's IOTA. There's a lot of other cryptocurrency coins out there that are really cheap. And a lot of people are kind of going, I'm going to buy some of them. I'm going to give some of my disposable income. and I'm going to hopefully hit the jackpot at one of them, and I might just pay off a chunk of my mortgage, or I'll have a better life. You also have the US government has said it's going to need a lot of money. It's going to need a lot of money through its budget, but also through Donald Trump's plans in his State of the Union. If you listen to his plans, he announced about $3 trillion worth of new spending at the max between the infrastructure bill, the maternity and paternity leave. There's a lot of benefit. There's a lot of stuff he wants to get done that's going to cost a lot of money. Now, obviously, it's hard to know because the plans haven't been released and when they start and how they start and who's going to pay for it. But also what you have competing for the US dollar economy is people, is bonds. Because the Treasury is going to have to fund this somehow. They're going to have to go, hey, you know, even if, let's just use small amounts. We're going to have to borrow this year, forget Donald Trump's State of the Union address. This year we're going to have to borrow, the figures are hard because the budget hasn't now, $600 million, $700 million, $800 million, billion dollars. They have to go and buy that. They have to go raise a bond for that and then get people to buy that bond with a return. So you have all these people competing for your money, for the US dollar. And the US dollar, there's only a certain amount of them. And especially now, the fact that they're no longer printing money. Everyone is competing for that dollar, which is what causes what? Where you have people wanting to buy disposable income, when you want people investing in the stock market, when you have people investing in cryptocurrency, you have people investing in bonds. What happens? Uncertainty. Everyone is competing for your dollar. Some of them are going to have to miss out. And part of what you're seeing in the stock market right now is people kind of going, what happens if we're the one to miss out? What happens if a large people, chunk of people say, we're going to go, you know, Donald Trump, let's say the Treasury came out with this thing going, and let's just put pie in the sky numbers. Donald Trump is going to get his bill passed and he's got it in Congress and he needs $1 trillion. And he needs a bond, the Treasury needs a bond for $1 trillion for some part of the budget and some part of the infrastructure project. That's $1 trillion that could have went to the stock market. That's $1 trillion that could have been spent on disposable income. That's $1 trillion that could have been spent on an iPad, on holidays, on your 401k, on your disposable income, in the cinema, meals with your wife, new a big 40-inch screen TV. That is $1 trillion that people could have spent elsewhere on products and services that is no longer needed. That's causing uncertainty. And a lot of people are kind of going, uh-oh, what happens? And what happens if America continues on this path? If it keeps growing the deficit? Because here's the other thing that no one, I don't think I've heard many people say, and if they have said it, they've said it for the longest time, people like Glenn Beck and Mark Levin. But in the mainstream media, everyone knows this. Even in Wall Street, everyone knows America is waiting for something really bad to happen. We're just riding the good times out. Because the laws of economics are the same for everyone. There is no such thing as Trumponomics. You may want to call it certain things. There's no such thing. There's no such thing as Obamanomics. There's no such thing as Reaganomics. There is no such thing. It's a fancy label taught up by someone. The laws of economics are the same for you, me, Donald Trump, Barack Obama, Ronald Reagan, George Washington. Heck, the laws of economics are the same for God. They're the same. They don't change. They're like the laws of gravity. They do not change. There's not my laws of gravity and your laws of gravity. The laws of economics are the same. I don't know what the number is, and if I was to bet, I don't know anyone on Wall Street who knows what the number is. But America's hitting a point at you're $20 trillion in debt. At some point, that's going to become a problem. There is no economist who has studied, even forget being an economist, there is no person who understands economics, even 1% of economics, who goes, you know what, $20 trillion debt, totally sustainable, totally doable, no worries. So what you're seeing is uncertainty. And that the reason I laid out at the start of this, stock markets don't do well when it's uncertain. when people is uncertain, bad things happen. It could go up one day, it could go down the next day. I don't think this is the crash, but I'm not an economist, so don't base anything I've said on my opinion on it's not a crash. Don't do anything or take any advice on that. I do have to say that. I'm not an economist. I'm not an investor. I don't give advice, but I don't think it is a crash. I think it's uncertainty. And until the market gets to a point where it gets certainty news, it gets news where, whether it's good or bad, whether it gets to a point where it can get stable footing, you're going to have a period of uncertainty. But here's the one thing I will say to you, and I'll finish up on this. This is mindset. As someone who has been around traders who trade cryptocurrency and who trade the stock market and who trade different shares and commodities like gold and silver, they have a different outlook on everything. They actually think generally the opposite to what everyone else thinks. So right now, everyone who's looking at the Dow going down, who's looking at the traders are looking at this going, this is awesome. This is good. This is a great opportunity. I'll have a small bet on it going down and make some money for my people. And then when it starts going back up, I just got in. Because when the Dow was at 26 and 27,000, they're all like, oh, it's a bit high. It's a bit stretched. I don't know if I'll be able to invest. I might have missed out on that. Now it's come back. They're like, I'm just waiting to get back in. I've got a second chance to get back in. It's the same with Bitcoin, if you trade cryptocurrencies. When it was up at 19,000, there were a lot of people kind of go, 19,000 of Bitcoin? That's heavy. I'm afraid to invest in that. It's back down to what? 7 or 8 now? 9? It's a great chance to get back in. A lot of people, when the time is right, when uncertainty goes away and confidence returns and normality returns, a lot of people are going to get back in on Bitcoin, going to go, you know what? Even if it just goes back to its prior high and doesn't have a new high, I've got back in at the second floor. I've got a second chance. They always look for the positive. It's actually refreshing to be around some of the traders because they always see things. They're always looking for opportunity. They're not looking for the problem, which so many people want to do. They're not looking for the outrage. They're looking, where's the next opportunity? Where's the next opportunity? Oh, that's come down. That's come back to where I can go. I can invest in the Dow at 24,000. That's a good investment. 28,000? Ooh, I don't know. 24? Awesome. Count me in. Bitcoin at 19,000? Don't know. That's a bit stretched. Bitcoin at 9,000? I'm in. I got a second chance. I'm going to make some more money. So that's my best trying to explain why you've seen what's happening in the world and what's happening in the stock market. Because what's happening in the stock market is also happening overseas. It's happening in the European stock markets. It's happening in Asia. There is a lot of uncertainty right now, and markets don't do well in uncertainty. They need some consistency. Thank you, and hope you enjoyed this short clip from last week's show. If you want more content based around America being an exceptional idea, eternal principles, and searching for self-evident truths, then please subscribe to my show called Freedom's Disciple, which is available for free on SoundCloud, iTunes, Google Play Music, or Stitcher.